Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I just want to show you something here in the Bible tonight. Thank God we have a Bible. Thank the Lord for the Bible. I've been thanking God for my Bible today. Just to have the Bible is one of the greatest privileges a person could ever have. Your greatest possession outside of your salvation is your Bible. Greatest thing in this world you can put your hands on is your Bible. There ain't nothing greater than the Bible. You think how messed up a person would be without the Bible. And I'm gonna talk about the passage of the marriage amendment yesterday. Thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
And they wrote it as confusing as possible to try to deceive people, and it still passed 61-39, so praise God for that. We're being made fun of around the nation, you know. One guy got on the news and said, it's embarrassing. People in North Carolina should be embarrassed. That's what he said. And he said, of course, he revealed his true colors. He said, you shouldn't even get married to start with, nobody. But then he was pushing gay marriage. Well, of course he is. Of course he is, but he won't say it. He's evolving. Oh, he did today? Yeah, he was evolving last week. They said his position on gay marriage was evolving. That means if I say this, you'll get mad. If I say that, they'll get mad, so I ain't saying nothing. That's what that means. It means a man won't take a stand. He evolved out today, huh? He hatched out the wrong way. They said, I read where that he was going to get in trouble either way. But he catered to them people to get elected. Now he's really going to have to cater to them to get reelected. But anyway, it ain't like a great revival's hit the land, folks. We ain't got a whole lot to shout about. We shouldn't have been having a discussion like that. Should never even been brought up to start with. But I did want to give you a few quotes here that I wrote down that they said. Let me tell you how intolerant the people who preach tolerance are. You got all these groups, especially the homosexual activists, who are saying, you should be tolerant. They accuse us of being intolerant and hate-filled and being prejudiced against them and stuff like that. Billy Graham, who's 93 years of age, came out and made a very nice, humble statement and said that the Bible teaches marriage is between a man and a woman. That's all he said. He wasn't mean. He wasn't hateful. Y'all know Billy Graham. He's not a mean, hateful spirit and bone in his body. I mean, he said it as nice as a man could say it. And let me tell you what they said about him. Here's what they said about Billy Graham. Quote, he's a senile old fool. Where's the tolerance? How come they can't tolerate him? And say, well, that's his opinion. He has a right. Quote, I'm praying for God to take Billy out of this world. Praying for him to die. Quote, I hereby take back every good word I've ever said about Billy Graham. He's as vile as any of them. Talking about Christians. Quote, he looks like that evil preacher on Poltergeist, the scary movie. Quote, he's not in his right mind. Franklin or his witch daughter is behind this. What a disgusting and putrid family. May they all burn in hell if there is one. Where's their tolerance? Where's their tolerance? How come it don't work both ways? The people who preach intolerance mean you're supposed to tolerate us, but we don't tolerate nothing that nobody disagrees with us. And you need to learn that. Get it? And they make Christians feel guilty for being intolerant. Somebody said, I've done heard about all the wars on Nose Book, and I figured that was coming. Everybody knows the Nose got on there and put their noses in, and that all the Nose people got on Nose Book and nosed it in their opinion, and they said that people were saying, Christians are full of hate. Christians are full of, well, what we say the same thing. They're full of hate. They want Billy Graham and his whole family to burn in hell. I don't want no homosexual to burn in hell. I don't want Charles Manson to burn in hell. I don't want nobody to burn in hell. So we're tolerant, they're intolerant. And I'm telling you, they They said something really vulgar about him. They said, go kill yourself, you know, and then just die to about Billy Graham. So that's the kind of society we're dealing with. The society in Lot's day, they were breaking down the doors. Violence. And the homosexuality leads to a violent, intolerant, serial killing lifestyle when it's carried to extremes. And suicide. So when you stand with what the Bible said, you're not being intolerant, you're not being ugly. When I say the sun's hot, I'm not being intolerant. I'm just stating a fact. And we're not... intolerance is when you're saying, I hate you because you're different than I am. That's intolerant. A prejudice, you know what the word prejudice means? Most people don't. It's prejudicial. Judicial means judge. Prejudge. That means you prejudge somebody before you even know them. Because of their color, their cultural status, religion, whatever. Prejudicial. You judge somebody before you know. Prejudicial means you judge something before you have the facts. And if you say, I don't like you, I hate you, just because you're from another country or something like that, that's prejudice. But we love everybody. A Christian's supposed to love everybody, care for their soul. Anyway, thank the Lord. It was somewhat of a victory. I'm glad. I figured from Winston-Salem on down that way, you got one half of North Carolina that's completely different than Winston-Salem back this way. Eastern North Carolina, about as sorry as anywhere else. Western North Carolina still, except for Asheville, holds to traditional values for the most part. Asheville's been invaded by weirdos, buddy. Because trying to stop Ralph Sexton and men like that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. I thought we're entering into the summer now, and me and Brother Jason, I believe, was talking the other night, and he made a statement, and I've said it many times. Bob Jones Sr. used to say it all the time, and it's reinforced by this verse, Deuteronomy 6:18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to cast out your enemies, and so forth and so on. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. He told them people, he said, look, this ain't rocket science. You just do what's right. Just do what's right, and God will bless you. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, I love youth rally. My Lordy mercy, if we had a lot of them, they'd probably kill me. But I love them, and it's exciting and everything. But like during the month of May, June, July, August, the summer that's coming on us right now, there's going to be a lot of times when you just do the right thing just because it's the right thing. And you are not maturing as a Christian. Y'all listen to me, young people, teenagers, everybody. You are not maturing as a Christian until you find yourself doing right just because it's right. Not because it's fun. Not because you get a big blessing out of it. Not because you might get, you know, you might get some kind of financial blessing or something like that. Just because it's right. Just because it's right. We ought to do right because it's right. Now, sometimes it is fun. And I mean, them youth rallies are a blast. We're still hearing reports. I've got phone calls. One preacher wants us to come down there and do that addiction service at his church in Spartanburg. Had two or three want to join in with us at camp, stuff like that. Everybody loves it. It's wonderful. I mean, we put a lot into it, and it's exciting. And everybody gets their T-shirts, and we laugh and see friends and shout and hit the altar. I love it. But you know, sometime when it's Wednesday evening about 6 o'clock, and or it's Sunday, and you went on that Sunday evening drive, and you're real sleepy, and the family's over, and all your family's over at the house, you know, and everything, and it's getting 5 o'clock, and you're restless, you're saying, well, am I going to go to church? What if they don't leave? I don't want to hurt their feelings and all that. That's when you find out what kind of Christian you really are. When you do the right thing just because it's the right thing. I never have company on Sunday evening. Wonder why? Two reasons. Number one, they know I'm taking a nap and wouldn't talk to them no way. And number two, they know I'm going to go to church. They know I am. And if my family showed up on Sunday evening, I'd say, see y'all later. I'd blown in the refrigerator. Help yourself. Because I'm going to do, if the Lord will help me, I'm going to do the right thing. Now, we ought to do right, even when you don't enjoy it, even when you don't feel led, even when you don't get immediately blessed or benefited by it. Do it because it's right. Old Bob Jones used to say, do right if the stars fall. Do the right thing if the stars fall. That means whatever situation you're in, just do the right thing. Do the right thing. You don't say, well, if I do this, my friend will get mad at me. And if I do that, my mom will get mad at me. I tell you what to do. Just do right. Yeah. Then if somebody gets mad, that's just tough luck. Just do the right thing. It's simple. The Christian life really isn't complicated. It's just a matter of deciding, I'm going to do right. I'm going to get my priorities straight. I'm going to put first things first. I'm going to honor God and do right. I want to talk a little bit, and this is very unusual for me to do this on Wednesday night, but I want to talk about our homes and your marriage. Do the right thing by your mate. Do the right thing by your mate. Now, all the marriage counseling you could ever go to, and there's some that get $75 an hour. There's others that are free, like me. And I have to listen to the same junk them $75 an hour guy gets because he's got a degree in counseling. But it basically boils down to do the right thing by your mate. Just do them right. According to the Bible. According to the Bible, how should you treat your mate? Here's the way we do. And I know I've got human nature. You do too. Our human nature says, well, if you're going to do this, I'm going to do that. And if you're going to act like that, I'm going to act like this. And we get in a battle of punishing each other or trying to make each other straighten up when all the Lord requires of us is to do right. Ladies, I hate to tell you this, but all your fussing and raising Cain ain't going to change him. You can fuss till you're blue in the face and you ain't going to change him. I mean, the devil can't change. The Lord ain't going to change him until he wants him to. Only God can change your husband and make him straighten up and be good to you. Only God can do that. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I ain't cooking, I ain't cleaning the house, I ain't doing nothing. And now, well, one excuse is good as the other, I reckon. Do right by your mate. Do right by your mate. Can I say something without y'all think I'm... I hope I don't say something without you think I'm being too blunt or nosy. We got home crowd here tonight. I want to say something to you that are suffering in your marriage. I want to say something to you that are, I hate to use this word, but are miserable in your marriage. And there's a lot of people are. There's people sitting in here tonight. I have nobody in mind when I know that, but I know we have couples. I mean, I ain't stupid. That are absolutely miserable in your marriage. And seriously speaking, you just go from day to day, week to week, and you think, God, the only reason I'm here is because it's the right thing. And I want, let me talk to you just for a minute. I've counseled a lot of people with marriages like that. My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to anybody. I guess about everybody has squabbles once in a while. Most people have disagreements. Most people have just a good old fuss once in a while. Most people do. And then it smooths out. And then you have another fuss. And then things smooth out. And then you have another fuss. Most of them, you say a few things and she sort of gets a little bit mad and sort of gets a little bit mad. And it's like a bubble. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one day, it pops. And then after it pops, you have it out, and everything's all right for a little while, and then it slowly starts to fill up with air again, and things you get mad. Most people like that. But I'm telling you, my heart goes out to you that are continually in a miserable condition. Maybe you think you don't love each other. Maybe you think, I'd give anything if I could just get out of this. Maybe you think, I'd give anything in the world if I could go somewhere. Let me talk to you just a minute, and we'll move on tonight. And your mate may not even know this. A lot of times, the mate don't even know till it's too late. I got text from Florida today. I've had phone calls. This is what people, this that don't go to our church, don't even live in this state, so you don't know who I'm talking about. A young lady who says, my husband has nothing to do with me. She said he won't touch me. She said he won't hug me. She said I love him. She said I don't know what's wrong with him. She said he pays me no attention whatsoever. Acts like I'm not even there. She said he's cold as ice around me. And so I said, well, I'll be praying for y'all. Hope everything works out right and everything. Well, come to find out, he's talking to this girl at work. They've never met that yet that we know of or anything like that. But he just friends, and she listens to him, and she, quote, understands him. The devil will always make sure that that happens. When you're having trouble and you're married, the devil will always make sure there's some nice guy or some nice girl at work who understands you. Oh, don't they understand you? Just like the devil understood Eve there in the Garden of Eden and understood it. Poor mean old God won't let you have that fruit there. Oh, you need to taste that. The devil's always got somebody that'll tell you what you want to hear. And the devil's always got some TV show that makes it appealing. Some bunch of old wicked women, you know, New York or something, that ain't got husbands, and they have this wonderful life. Let me tell you something about them wicked old women in New York that ain't got no husband. They'll be a wrinkled up old hag in just a few years, and they're gonna wish they had somebody to love them and love them, stay good to them, and they ain't gonna have nobody. Amen? Amen. You don't stay pretty long, and some, you, whatever. Not long at all. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When that's gone, then you don't want somebody to care about you. I think the thing for you to do tonight is do right. Don't try to punish him. Do right. That's hard to do. But just do right. Don't try to punish it. Pay him back. Don't try to hurt her back. Just do right. Just do right by your mate. Just do right. You say, well, Brother Danny, how can I do it with the way I feel about them? Here's what you got to do. You know how people fall in love? Thinking good thoughts about each other. You know how you fall out of love? Thinking bad thoughts about each other. So you fall in love with your mate by seeing all their good points. Oh, he's this and he's that, and she's this and she's that. And you won't even let yourself think about it. Somebody pointed out them bad things to you, remember? And you wouldn't listen. Mama tried to tell you, but no, no. All you could see was them good points, good points, good points, good points. You knew he had a few faults, but boy, them good points far overshadowed them bad points. Something happens after you get married and you start taking each other for granted, and then them faults and stuff come to light and they come to the surface, and sometimes those good points sort of get snuffed out and you start seeing their faults. And then if you're not careful, all you can see is their faults. If you're not real careful, every time you see them, that fault, that mouth of theirs, or that attitude, or that something about just you, and you'll get hung up on that thing or things that you just absolutely can't stand. Now that's where you're going to have to get in the altar, get in your prayer bones, and pray and fast if need be, and say, God, help me not to think about their faults. Help me to think about their good. You say, well, how do I know that's the way the Lord does us? The Lord don't just major on our faults and our failures all the time. He looks at our good parts, and He forgives us. Every day the Lord forgives us. And that's what you've got to do being married. You got to learn to forgive every day. Every day. Start all over. Every day, just like, don't you ask the Lord to forgive you every day? I do. Lord, forgive me. Help me. Give me a clean slate, Lord. That's the way you got to do your mate. And I don't know why I felt like saying that tonight. I just felt like I do too. That lady down in Florida, it just It breaks my heart, folks, to see somebody have to live like that. I've been in a situation like that. And it is miserable. Miserable. I know people that come home at night and walked around the house pleading the blood before they went in the house that there wouldn't be a fuss when they walked in. I've known ladies who literally told me, she said, "Brother Danny, I got a blessing out of the revival tonight, but I dread going home. He's going to cuss me for coming." I'm telling you, buddy, my heart goes out to people who have to live in a situation like that. So if you think your mate is awful and hard to live with and everything, if they're sitting in here tonight, that's something you ought to look at and major on and shout about once in a while. Woo! My wife will come to church! That's something to shout about. I know a lot of good Christian guys who would give anything in the world to have a woman that'd sit beside him in church. Say amen. Amen. But she might not be perfect, but she'll come to church. Hallelujah, she'll come. I know men, I've talked to young preachers that say, "Brother Danny, if she'd just go to church with me, if she'd just go to church with me, just go to church." That right there is a tremendous blessing. Amen. Ladies, I know women, one had we had here, been saved 30 years. Her husband has never one time come to church with her and sit beside her in church. Not one time. If she had a husband that come to church as regular as yours, she'd shout all over this church this evening. You see what we do? We take for granted the good things that they do, and all we can see is the bad. And I mean, I'm the same way. It's human nature. We're like that with our kids. We're like that, you're like that with the church, with the pastor, with our members. You have got to convince yourself, hey, they're with me. Thank God she cleaned up the house today. Hallelujah, she's sitting in church. She did cook me something to eat. I mean, she will take a bath a couple times a week. Thank God, hallelujah. Woo, I'm married to the Queen of Sheba. What my daddy always called it. It's Queen of Sheba. Daddy used to say Queen of Sheba. But you ought to do that. You say, "Brother Danny, he will work." I mean, if you got a man that'll work, that's something to shout about and thank God. Amen. I mean, if he'll work, if he'll get up and go to work every day and pay them bills, shout about it, sister. Shout. You say, "Well, he drives me crazy because he likes to watch football." Well, if he'll work a job, thank God, let him watch a little football. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. Shout your head off. Be glad he ain't watching, I don't know what. That's a star. That's what you want. Amen. Listen, brother. I tell you, shout about what they're. I mean, they got something. Yeah. Yeah, let him play video games. Amen. Let him play some video games. It ain't going to kill you. You know what we do? We get stuff in our craw and it just irritates a fire out of us. Like that computer or like that, the scanner. Boy, he is redneck, ancients.
I can stand that.
The scanner is their problem.
That drives me nuts.
Lord, I didn't even know anybody still had scanners.
Yeah.
Y'all pray for old Slim Jim.
He used to sleep with it on all night long.
Huh?
He used to keep it on all night long.
Now, we're recording this now for him. We're going to give him equal time.
I finally got him out of that, thank God.
A scanner, bless God. Set up. What's your grounds for divorce? He wouldn't turn that scanner off. Judge. Now, you'd be surprised how little old something like that, little bitty something, just irritates the fire out of you. Because you think, is that all that you can do? Can you not do anything else but that blankety scanner? I mean, it's easy to get like that. We get jealous of little old thing. You know, it's human nature. Man, you know, man walks in, he wants her to pay attention to him. And then she don't, and he gets mad, and vice versa. But I don't know, y'all. I mean, my heart is breaking for y'all that, and I don't know who all might. have a miserable marriage. My heart's breaking for you. When she told me that this evening, I sent her a text and said, God bless you. I'm praying for you. I said, I'm so, so sorry. Three little girls. And her husband won't pay her a bit of attention. He's talking to some girl at work. Because she got a stretch mark or something. And he found him some little hoochie at mama at work. And that's all he can think about now. I feel sorry for people that having to go through that. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, looking at their good points. Looking at their good points. You might have a husband that's mean to you and abusive, but he could have bumper stickers all over his van. He didn't deny it. He said, people have been reading them. I think if everybody in here tonight, it'd be worth your trip here tonight and $100 more. If everybody in here tonight would just say, I'm going to do right by my mate. The biggest problem the women have, I think, is just you just let it start building up, and you keep a record of all of his sins. And the biggest problem the men have is trying to teach you a lesson and make you straighten up. Man, if we'd quit that right there, it would solve a lot of our problems. And if we'd practice Bible forgiveness, just on the fact of just forgive them. Just forgive them and not throw it up, not hold it in their face, and try to say, you know what? We're going to be together till one of us dies. And we can do it miserable or we can make the best out of this. Now, bless God, let's just sit down. It may not be heaven around here, but it don't have to be hell. Amen? At least make it purgatory. That's better than hell. You don't want your marriage to be hell. It probably won't be heaven, but brother, it don't have to be hell all the time. Amen. Amen. I got one fellow, they said, one guy asked him at work, he said, do you wake up grouchy in the morning? He said, no, I just let her sleep. I'm gonna quit in a minute. I was going to do say some other things, but somebody want to say something right quick. No doubt. I'm telling you, I've seen this truth years ago, and it's because of me having to talk to so many people. I'm telling you, you can go spend $10,000 on a marriage counselor, and he ain't going to tell you nothing no better than what I'm getting ready to say. I'm telling you, you're wasting your money if you think you can get anything better than what I'm getting ready to say. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And that's this. Our problem in marriage is we take each other for granted. And we don't show each other the same respect that we show everybody else. There's your problem right there. If we just showed each other respect, like you would, you ain't no way you'd talk to people at work like you talk to your wife or your husband. I mean, you can all the way to church and walk into church and say, hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. And you frown all the way here. You big hypocrite. I mean, you can be nice when you want to. One lady always fussed her husband all the time. She's real hateful all the time because she said it was at a certain time or whatever. And she blamed. She said, I can't be nice. And then the phone rung. She said, hey, how are you? He said, oh, you can be nice too, can't you? If you want to. Well, I'm tired and I don't feel like going out. But you let one of your buddies come by. Suddenly, you feel better, don't you? And don't you think, I knew a lady who just said that one time. Her husband was a preacher, and she said, honey, I need to talk. He said, I don't want to talk tonight. I want to go to sleep. You know, because you think, oh, Lord, it's going to take, she gets on one of these big, it'll take an hour for this story. And you say, I want to go to sleep. I don't feel like talking. Then the phone rang, one of his church members called. And he sat there and listened to her for 15 minutes, or listened to the church member for 15 minutes, and she laid over there thinking, I'm not important. He can listen to his church member 15 minutes, can't listen to me. See, the devil working stuff like that. Now, if a man's tired and sleepy, she ought to respect him and all of that. But if he can give a church member 15 minutes, he ought to be able to give his wife 15 minutes. You see what I'm talking about respect? Common respect. And the reason people get divorced is they lose that. They take each other for granted. That little girl at work, you see her after she's worked on herself for an hour every morning and smelled good and fixed her hair and everything and got her best foot forward, and you don't see her faults. Guarantee you she's got them. Guarantee you. Probably more than your wife does. If she's any count, she wouldn't be flirting with you. Say amen. All right, I'm going to stop. I didn't plan on this being a marriage service tonight, but I believe God, if you're in a miserable marriage, please try to see their good parts. Try to see. They ain't got none. You wouldn't have married him. Bound to have some. He lost them. Well, I don't know about that. They're probably down in there somewhere. Go on a date Friday night. Go on a date. You say, can't afford it. Walk. You used to do that when you were teenagers. You'd walk on a blessed date, brother. Walk down Hoppy Tom and back. How romantic can you get? Evening in Hoppy Tom. That's what I'm going to name that perfume we're going to buy, manufacture. It don't have to cost a lot of money. Just be nice. You could go to the dollar store and get two cards for a dollar. Two of them, or two for a dollar, brother. And write, be nice, and just do something nice, okay? Anybody got something?